Thank you for looking at the right things. There are some people who are unwilling to be balanced, and they're unwilling to look at the whole perspective of things. A general goes into a war. He has got to look at the perspective of things. Not only does he look about killing people and destroying things, but he also looks at the logistics, the food preparation, the transportation, the medical. And he has to have the right perspective. And you know, sometimes people get so caught off, unbalanced on the war they're in, they forget where they're really supposed to be at. And hope to God, we as Christians, we have the right perspective this thing. By the way, we're going home. Amen. We're on our way home. And you got to have the right perspectives on her. You want to, first of all, as a right perspective, I want to take as many people home with me as I can. That's very important for us. We want to disciple those people that we're going to take home with us. And some are a little slower to catch it than others. Some are kind of like some of you golfers. You didn't get it as good as you should. Amen. And maybe you're not good at that. But sometimes, you know, some guys are hunters. Some guys are really good hunters. Other guys are, oh boy, you don't want to follow them. They make a lot of noise. And you work all day to get one animal, and one little mistake and snap of a twig or brush up against that skunk cabbage and spooks them and they're gone. And so... But in our lives, we have to deal with multiplicity of people, ideas, surroundings, and on. And let us be very careful at Heritage Baptist Church that we're very careful that we help others to let them grow, to get them to the point in their lives that they can serve God in a right and direct way. Some people don't catch it as quick as others. Some people say, oh, I get it. And they're gone. And others just... that bumpy road. Seem like they never do get it. But they're on their way to heaven, amen? They've asked Jesus Christ to save them. And so let's really pray about that in our lives. Well, anyway, let's have the right perspective. He said the right perspective, you have the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God knows everything. He's a tremendous God. He's a tender God. He's a timeless God. I want you to look at that. He's a tremendous God. He's also a tender God. Thank God, God is not up in heaven in a rocking chair with a golden ball bat. When we screw up, whack, he hits us over the head. Amen. He's a tender God. He's a merciful God. And he's also a timeless God. Some things just don't come together as quick as we think they should. But God is always on time and never in a hurry. Right moment, perfect timing. And would to God we were like that. Then he's a sympathetic God. Sympathetic God. You watch him and you've got the right perspective there. He knows the tyranny, he knows the tomb that has the power of the tomb that has over us. He knows the tyranny that time has over us. Everybody gets 24 hours a day. That's all you get. You don't have any more. That's all you get. You look at your watch, I'm looking at my watch. You look at your watch different than I look at my watch. I look at my watch and I think, I've got to be an hour ahead of everything. Of everything. I've got to be an hour ahead. Because we ain't going to get there. This morning I started preparation early this morning, taking my wife with me to go to 3 different rest homes. And I got up 2 hours early than I normally do. Because I know that everything had to be done. And all of us have a different way of timing. And every one of you, you parents, have a new way of timing today because school started today. You have to have a new timing. Say, good night, got to keep. I don't want my kid to come home and say, hey, you were late. And they say, because mama wasn't ready. But anyway. And then the severity of God. God will show his power. God does not. There are certain things you can't mess with God. You can't mess with the poor. Don't mess with the poor. Don't mess with the widows. Don't mess with the fatherless. There's principles in the Word of God, and you ought to know those. There's certain things you just don't mess with. Hey, Matt. You don't mess with certain things. There's certain things you don't mess with. Ananias and Sapphira found out something they didn't mess with. Amen? He's dead. She's dead. The Bible said it brought great terror, great fear in the church of God. Straighten some things out. Amen. And then God is not to be trifled with. Keep this perspective in mind. It may seem that His judgment is delayed, and that because we are the creature of day, God writes it off as 1,000 years is a day. And let me say this. What's 20 to 30, 40, 50 years to God? There's a second. So be sure your sins will find you out. God will deal with us, all of us. And a while back, there's a History Channel talk about the direct image radar, and we talked about that last week, and how that plane was going from one area to the next, and it just was blip, and that line would sweep across there and blip. You couldn't even tell it, but that thing was moving 300 miles an hour. It's your perspective. And then secondly, the real problem, verses 7 through 12, our lives are so sinful. Listen now. Our lives are so sinful. The Bible said we ought to take heed to ourselves. We better take heed to ourselves and make sure we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And our lives are so short and our lives are so serious. And now we're going to talk about the resulting of prayer. Verses 13. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the year wherein ye have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto the servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. May God have the blessing of the Word of God as He always does. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that You would speak to our hearts and give us wisdom beyond our own nature and our own wisdom. Lord, we are nothing compared to You. We only get what we can handle. So, Lord, help us tonight. Teach us, Lord, Your Word in Jesus Christ. In name, amen. Well, the resulting prayer. Look at here. Moses prays here. He says, life which has its perspectives right, which has its greatest problem solved, will be occupied in a definite direction, which is clearly seen in Moses' prayer here. Number one, he had fresh evidence of the moving of God. I don't know about you, but I like to see the fresh evidence of the Word of God. You remember way back there in Samuel's, when 1 Samuel was written, and it said that they had not heard from God. There was no open vision of God. And then it really discourages you. Where's a mother who's given her little child to the church, to the temple, and he does not even know God? That to me is a great call to our Sunday school teachers. That a child come to Heritage Baptist Church and not know God. Study your lesson. Get it ready. Pray for those children. Bring your little camera. Take your phone. Take pictures of those kids and pray for them all week. Amen. Man, I tell you what, you have been given an opportunity to teach the children of God. Get it. Do it. Do it right. Let me tell you something. You know, sometimes people just figure that they can get by. But you're not going to get by. They're going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it. And I hope to God that each one of us are very careful on how we serve God, how we give ourselves close to God, and we're very careful about that. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servant. This prayer is an original context. It grew right out of the circumstances in which Moses and the children of Israel found themselves in the wilderness. Why? Well, they refused to go into Canaan land and take the possession of their possessions. God said, you go into that Canaan land, and whatever you find, that's yours. That's a pretty good deal. That would be like someone, a bunch of people leave out of Great Falls, and you have nothing. And you just walk into a man's house. It's all yours. All the vehicles, all the refrigerator, freezer, everything is yours. And God said, it's yours. It's yours. And they refused. In spite of all the miraculous and wonderful proofs that God had given to them and showed His wisdom and His love and His power, God's wrath overflowed them because they were unwilling to do what God wanted to do. How long, He demands, will this people provoke me? And how long will I ere they believe me? For all the signs which I showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, a mightier than they. Numbers chapter 14, 11 and 12. Note the Lord was about to turn loose upon the people the same avenging angel who had certainly took real short order in smiting the Egyptians. And God was just about ready to say, sick them. Moses, God said, I will make a nation out of you. And Moses said, No. I'm going to be their intercessor. And he pleaded for God to return for him to repent and the righteous wrath and the judgment he had prepared to send. At once, there was a fresh evidence of the moving of God, both in judgment and mercy. The Lord did return, and He did shepherd the next generation under the promised land. Boy, how we need to pray for that today, amen. Boy, how we need to pray for that today. And secondly, we find this fresh endowment of the mercy of God. Verses 14 and 15. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and years wherein we have seen evil. God, satisfy us early with your mercy. Lord, sure like to have mercy. Sure like you to come back and get things straightened out. Lord, we want it now. We've had enough. We don't want to go that way anymore. We want to serve God. What's this all doing? It's having things in the right perspective. Amen?
Amen?
All of us have our ways about doing things. In fact, the Scripture talks a lot about that. It says they did right in their own eyes. We're not to do things what are right in our own eyes. We're supposed to do our right through this Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God of heaven. This is what the Bible says. This is where we're going to go. Now, I'll be honest with you. Very many times we stumble on the precepts of the Word of God. We fail to do the things that God tells us to do, or how God tells us to do them? How you doing out there? Feel that way sometimes? Of course we do. That's why we go back to the Bible all the time. We'll go back to the Bible. Someone says, hey, you did it wrong. You know what? You're right. I did do it wrong. But bless God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to try to do it right. I'm going to make sure that I do it right and properly and carefully. But so many times we fail to catch it. And then we catch it. And many times we fail to realize that all of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. I have not seen a perfect man yet. I've seen a few perfect ladies. The way they tell me they are. But we all make mistakes. And that's part of the road. That's part of the road to heaven. Mistake after mistake, get it right. Mistake, we get it right. Fall before God. 1 John 1:9. Thank God that's in the book. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us sins and able to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, hey, read the rest of it. You make him a liar. Like I said, we haven't seen a perfect one yet, have you? Oh, but I want to make sure everybody thinks I'm perfect. Well, guess what? You're an idiot. Because you ain't perfect. And you're not going to be perfect. And that's why I have plenty of sermons to preach, because I've got a lot of illustrations of myself. I've acted the fool many times. I've played the fool many times. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've overreacted. And why don't you all say amen, because you did the same thing. Well, I'll tell you what. A couple of times I about ripped the lid off my boy's head, man. And come find out it wasn't him. And you can be like some father said, well, I didn't catch you the other time, so that you'd take it for that one. That don't fly. Sorry. So he gets a fresh and dumb of the mercy of God. And yes, the sand glass is there. You ever play one of those games, you got a little sand deal, and you turn it over and it trickles down, trickles down, trickles down. The sand glass is there. The sand of time is sinking, but we must not be morbidly occupied with death. Be very careful you're not mortified by your death. Don't be so afraid you're going to die. Glory to God, man, that's a wonderful thing, going to die. I talked to one of the rest homes today. I was talking about death. And I said, thank God we're going to get to go to heaven. Old guy, about 85 years old, tears coming down. He's going like this. Thinking about death. But he's happy about it because he's going to heaven. Amen. David also said, you know, we ought to make thought of our death. I think once in a while you ought to lay in bed and put your hands like this and think this. What's going to happen when you die and all the things you have and all the things you call dear and everything you just have to have, and when you die, just think about it. Somebody else is going to take it. Your wife is going to take your shotgun that you paid $5,000 for, and she's going to sell it for $100 just to get it out of the house. My wife is going to take all my books up there I spent almost 50 years buying, and some guy like Joe Mark will come in and he'll say, I'll give you $1 a book. And she says, man, that's a good idea. Here, have him. That wouldn't even buy the pace for some of those books in there. But you know what? I'm not going to need them anymore. I sure like them now. Boy, I can go to them and I can pull them out and read what I want and get what I can get out of them. I like that. But it is important not a man wants to die and then judgment. It's kind of a good idea to just do that. Don't be morbid about it. Say, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Now, here's the deal. What do I leave to my boys? What do I leave to my grandkids? What do I leave to my church? What do I leave to them? When I think of death, I also say, I still have today. I still have today. We must look forward to tomorrow, and above all, we must so know the mercy of God in our lives that each morning we hear the ringing out of joy in the Lord, God's discipline with us, and our intent to God's discipline was not to flatten us. My discipline to my three boys was not to ruin them or flatten them or hurt them. My discipline was to teach them that there is a penalty to pay when you act foolish. There's a penalty to pay when you are not honest. There's a penalty to pay when you tell a lie. I was trying to teach them when they grow up, they say, you know what? My dad's not here, but Mr. Officer is here, and you are going to pay. God is not in the business of ruining you. God is in the business to raise you up. He loves you.
Amen.
And if you keep doing something, he says, no, he's gonna get after you. And that's good. And you keep on your merry way and you don't get straightened out and you don't get chained, then you could ruin the opportunity for people to get saved, and God does not like that. And you may ruin the testimony of your church, and God does not like that. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. God's discipline with us are not intended to flatten us into despair. They're designed to lead us on to such an experience of loving kindness. Listen now, loving kindness, mercy, and grace, and which makes us sing. When God uses mercy on me, then I want to be more like Christ. I want to use mercy on them. There are some things in my life that people certainly say, you know, I don't like that, and I don't blame you. I don't either, and I've been trying to work at it for 65 years. But I'm not the only one. So are you. I had a guy come one time in our church, and boy, there were some things that he really pulled off that were just not really good. And I helped him out on it. And his daughter did something really reckless. And I helped her on that. Tried to get that thing straightened out and did get it straightened out and a couple other things. But he thought I did something, which I did not. Not that I couldn't have, but I didn't do it. And he ate me up one side down the other. He told me to get out of his house. He never wanted to see me again. And I said, sir, I said, first of all, I didn't do that. But secondly, I said, good night. What about all the times that I had mercy on you? He says, it's different. You're the preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not different. I need your mercy just like you need my mercy. And I need your grace just like you need my grace. And I need your wisdom just like you need my wisdom. And that discouraged me, but the fact that I thought that I couldn't even help him. And he wouldn't even take. I know you think I did, but I didn't. But I'm sorry you feel that way. Will you forgive me? He said, get out of my house. God's mercy and grace and faithfulness, loving kindness will make us sing even in the midst of the fruit of our folly. I have failed. How many times in your family have you had a blow up? Don't raise your hand. You might slap somebody beside the head trying to get up so fast. And after a few days, you realize that was pretty stupid to get mad at. And the other one thinks it's pretty stupid he said. And most times you don't even say, I'm sorry. You just get on with life. What was the old saying? If you're in love, that means you don't have to say you're sorry. That's kind of crazy. But anyway, you do need to say you're sorry. But anyway, things just paddle on. This is Heritage Baptist Church. A group of people that come together, a bunch of saved, baptized believers, called out assembly of baptized believers, come together, and all of us couldn't fit in the same peg hole. Because there's some squares, and some stars, and some round, and some oblong, and some rectangle, and some triangles, and some just, they couldn't fit if they could fit. But we come together to do something for God. We come together to go soul winning. We come together to send missionaries out. We come together to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We come together because we need to come together to hear the preaching. We come together for that. But if you try to put me in your little perfect little, what do you call it? I ain't going to fit. And you're not going to fit in mine either. But it doesn't mean I can't love you. I had words with the guy. Actually, he had words with me a while back. And about 2 weeks later, he came up. He said something. I said, hey, big deal. It was just the fervent of the moment. And I love the guy. Just the way it is. He puts up with me. I put up with him. And we laugh about it. Not a perfect in here, if you haven't figured that out yet. It's all in your perspective. Go with me to the Army, go with me to the Navy, go with me to the Air Force, go with me to the Marines. Put them in boot camp. Let them mess with your brain for a little bit, and all of a sudden you pretty much get together and you're doing your supposed to do your job, right? Well, hello, welcome to boot camp. All right. Amen. C. A fresh expression of the might of God. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's what we all want, isn't it? We all want a fresh expression of the might of God. I want God's power upon my life. Amen. I don't want to just slither along. I want God's power. Paul the Apostle begged the people of the churches that he preached to. He said, pray that God would give me a holy boldness. I need boldness. And so do you. Let thy work appear unto thy servant, and thy glory unto their children. Here he's talking about the future of Israel. After Kadesh Barnea lay with the children, it always does. The children are the ones who now are going to step into the shoes and carry on the purpose of God. God is intently interested in our children. And may I tell you this, be very careful how critical you are, because if you're critical, you're raising critical kids.
Right,
and nothing will be good.
Right.
We need to see God's mighty arm made bare in their lives. We need to pray that He will do His work in them, and they need to see the glory of God for themselves. I've said this many times. When you go away to college, you've got to find your own God. When you go off the military, you've got to find your own God. You can live on preacher's God, and you can live on your mommy and daddy's God, and your grandma and grandpa's God, but bless God, when you get out there all alone, you're going to have to find out something that's going to get you through this thing.
Amen.
Hopefully, it'll be the Almighty Jehovah God. And we as parents must point them to the Almighty God. But we can't drag them and they can't be kicking. They've got to get point in their life to say, you know what, I need God. God, I need you. I really need you. I'm in a mess. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know if I'm upside down or upside sideways. I don't know which way to go. I need God. And God will show Himself strong to them. How are we doing, parents? As they look at us, are you ready for this? And see our failures. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our little kids can see our failures. They can see it when mommy and dad are fussing. Oh, yes, they can. Don't you think? These little guys, they're smarter than you want to think. They can see you fussing. They can see you give them a cold shoulder. They can see you push away. They can see you fussing. Yes, they can. And they look at us and they see our failures, and our failures have brought us where we are. But God can overrule even our failures and show His glory through them. I want my children to see God's power upon my life. I don't want them to see my failures, though I fail. I would tell my boys, God is the only perfect God, and God's the only one to fail. And sometimes I'd get after my boys for something, and I realize how stupid I really was, and I'd go back to them and I'd apologize to them and say, I was wrong. I know that's not the old country way, but it's the right way. I am wrong. I should have never done that. I am wrong. I should have never did that. I should have never shot that. I should have never done this. I should have never done that. You know, boys, I should have never done that. And I'm sorry. And Dad is going to try and never say that again. Don't look at me like you've never talked like that. You have too. But I'm the dad. No, you're the father. Amen. And the kid's watching you. And kid, let me tell you something. Your daddy's going to fail. Would you please be as merciful to your daddy as your daddy's merciful to you? Hello? Help him out. Love your daddy. I said, somebody told me the other day, he said, boy, I love you more than I love my own dad. It just broke my heart. You know why? I don't want to be loved like their dad. I don't want that. I want you to honor your father and your mother. Amen. That to me was just a low blow, and I'm thinking, why did you say that to me? And no, it wasn't anybody's here. Sorry. I know I popped your bubble. Oh, I wonder who that was. No. Sorry. Ding, 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 ding. Wrong address. And I didn't like it. Really made me uncomfortable. Hey, you ever when you were kids run around your buddies and your buddy said something bad about their dad or their mom? How many of you are wrong? Remember that? How did that make you feel? Boy, it made me feel lousy. Well, when somebody's talking about their dad, they call their dad the old man, the mother's the old lady. I thought, that really makes me uncomfortable. I don't like that. My dad are not perfect, but bless God, they're pretty close to it. And for them to say that, I don't want nothing to do with those guys. Well, my old man made me do it. Your old man should have made you do that. And he ought to get home. He ought to wear you out, amen? Let's plead for a fresh expression of the might of God. For a work pointed by God and directed in the hearts of our children and young people. In Israel, every child up to the age of 19 was destined to the promised land in the sovereign purpose of God. By the way, our children are destined to go on from us. And we better give them something to know and something to hang on, something to carry with them. because one of these days we're going to be gone, and the library is closed, and the answering system doesn't work anymore, and they're going to want to call up Daddy and say, Dad, what should I do about this? Dad's gone.
Right.
Dad's gone. If I could just talk to him one more time. My mother had cancer, real bad. I called my dad once a week. I never understood until now. I want my boys to talk to me every day. I want them to come over. I want them to be with me. I hope they never have to learn that. So let's lay hold of something for our children and say, hey, here it is. Some of you grandpas are holding some stuff. Why don't you give it to your grandsons? I'm surprising my grandsons all the time when I'm giving them. I like seeing them shoot them. I gave one of my grandsons a .44 Magnum, 8.5-inch barrel. That little 10-year-old pulled that, cocked that thing back and let her go. And he took 2 steps backwards, amen. And he went, that's a gun. Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of that stuff. He said, why? What are you doing? I want to see him. It's not, you know, I know I teach on suicide and suicidal people, they give away all their stuff before they're going to, sorry, wrong answer. Doesn't always be that way. I just think I'm going to have some fun. I think it's a good idea. Now I want you to see in verse 17, a fresh, oh my goodness, I'm 2 minutes late. All right. I have so much for you. Dear God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you teach us many ways. Lord, bless this service tonight and help us, Lord Jesus, to be very careful that we are close to you and we do what you want us to do. And Lord, I pray we'd be very careful how we raise our children, we'd raise them right and properly so they could do what they should do. And Lord God, someday we'll stand before a holy God and how we raised them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.